Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another live edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement organization based in Charlotte, North Carolina, since 2004. We have been on the air for more than 500 episodes, and over the years, we have tried to make each episode different than the other. We have tried to bring information, news. We try to be informative. We also add a training component. We talk about current events. And we also try to add various topics that enhances the career of our private security, our law enforcement, our public safety, and all that work on the front line. Now, we often get some questions about who can join. And right now, obviously, this is a very important aspect of the frontline protectors to have connection to a professional organization. We've always welcomed anyone in public safety, loss prevention, private security, law enforcement, private law enforcement, vendors, people who supply supplies to the public safety industry, and regulatory personnel, and just about anyone else who supports what we're doing to enhance the private protection world and public safety. So to answer some of the questions that we've been getting recently, yes, please join. We are an international organization. We have members in more than 30 some odd countries. And if you're in any country other than the U.S., we still welcome you, because what we've found over the years is that the problems, the circumstances, the crimes, the assaults on officers don't change just because the name of the country does. So we are international, and we accept anyone from anywhere in the world. Go to our website, privateofficer.org. If you need help with that, send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com, 24/7, 365 days a year. Somebody's there monitoring, and someone will respond very quickly. Last week on the program, we talked for a few minutes about the hurricanes coming in through the Gulf, hitting Texas. We had a hurricane in the Atlantic, one in the Pacific that was targeting Hawaii. And last week, I had to go down to the lower Gulf Coast states along the Gulf Coast. And I had heard, you know, that Hannah, the hurricane, came in. It wasn't much. It caused a little bit of damage, but, you know, not too much, nothing to worry about. And so I had to go down to the Gulf Coast for a business meeting, so I just drove on in and then had to be there for a couple of days. And while I was there, it just rained. I mean, it would rain heavy bands of rain, wind gusting at 60 miles an hour, and rain was torrential at times. And I knew that this was part of the old Hurricane Hanna. I just didn't realize it was going to really affect the whole Gulf Coast region between Louisiana and Pensacola, Florida. But it did, and for like 3 days, it just really kept on raining on our parade, so to speak. Heavy bands of rain would come in, wind, then it would kind of lighten up, and the sun would kind of break through maybe for an hour or two, and all of a sudden, when you least expect it, there was the rain again pounding away. Well, this week, I'm intentionally heading here today to another area of a hurricane. We're heading to the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Virginia Beach along the Atlantic coast for a potential hurricane. Now, right now, it's a strong tropical storm. It had been a hurricane for a short time, but it decreased back to a strong tropical storm. We're going to go over there. We do have assets in that region, and we do want to be sure that we are there monitoring what's happening, as well as offering any assistance that might be necessary. We do have a storm response team, so we travel all over the world, well, all over the country, actually, but we'll go any place that needs us, and so we're going to be busy today and probably tomorrow with some bad weather. If it's just a strong tropical storm, then it's really nothing too much to worry about, just some rain, clouds, some wind. If you're living along any of the major water bodies, it doesn't even have to be an ocean. If you live along Tornado Alley, if you live in Tennessee, Alabama, the Carolinas, you know that this time of year that you're going to get hit by strong tropical storms. Now, in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is about 200 miles inland from the coast, we still get hit pretty hard every year whenever there's a tornado in the Atlantic, rather a hurricane in the Atlantic. We get hit, and it causes spinoffs of tornadoes, heavy wind damage, lots of rain and flooding. And you know, remember Katrina? Remember, it wasn't so much the wind, but the rain and the water. Same thing happens in my neck of the woods in North Carolina. We'll get heavy torrential rains for days when there's a hurricane out in the Atlantic, even a tropical storm. And we've had hurricane strength winds a number of times during the years that I've been there. And even a hurricane that came through a number of years ago. We've seen that as well in Alabama. Alabama, Birmingham, and Huntsville, again, several hundred miles away from the Gulf Coast. And yet, when a hurricane comes through the Gulf, we'll see it run right up I-65 from the Gulf of Mexico and start hitting all of the cities and towns along Interstate 65, using that as an interstate for the storm. And we'll see hurricane force weather, winds, rains, flooding, all the way up 65, even sometimes into parts of Tennessee. And, you know, in recent years, we've seen Category 1 hurricane make it all the way up the Atlantic, just hit every city and town along the coast as it makes its way all the way up to New Hampshire. So you don't know what the weather's going to do. The whole point of this is be prepared and make sure that you have go bags, make sure that you have plans, evacuation routes, that you know what you're going to do. Whether it's a hurricane or a tornado, you got to be well prepared. Now, security, public safety, first responders, what do? We don't leave. No, we run toward the weather like I'm doing here in a few minutes. I'm running toward the weather. So it's important that if you're going to do that, that you plan these things out with your family. They know where they're going. They know what they're doing. They know how to reach you, and that you have secondary communication methods so that you can always stay in touch with your family. If you want to be part of a response team, contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com, helpdesk at privateofficer.com. We have a lot to talk about this week. Of course, news. We want to tell you about some statistics on the number of people killed during July by security and a number of security officers who also died. We want to talk about a big announcement that I have next Monday. You do not want to miss the show next Monday. We're going to talk about that when we come back from our first break. And we're going to give you the opportunity to win some free stuff. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we're coming right back here in a minute. College, a public safety institute. We train those who help others. Paramedics and emergency medical technicians, firefighters, police officers, law enforcement, private security, bail enforcement, and those on the front line. Check us out today at armorcollege.org. A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org. We'll even bring the school to you. Armor College, a public safety institute.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
July 2020 has been a deadly month all the way around. Even though many, many businesses have been closed, many security officers have been out of work, many companies have bare bones, skeleton security, for some reason, this past month, security officers nationwide killed 17 people, four security officers have been charged with murder, two have been charged with attempted murder, aggravated assault, and using a weapon in the commission of a felony. A number of other cases are under review, but the majority of the cases, the majority of the fatal shootings involving private security have been deemed to be justified, and that's a good thing. But 17 people killed by private security. Several of them was over face mask, not having a face mask while in a retail outlet, a retail store. I think that's outrageous. We know that that is a training issue. We know that that is poor communication, poor supervision, poor policy. and security companies, you know, they are liable. But let's talk more about liability. Let's talk about people's lives. Not only the person that was killed, but the security officer that, if they lose their case in court, they're facing life in prison. I often bring up the case in Knoxville, Tennessee, a number of years ago, where a man who never had a criminal charge in his life was retired working as a security officer at a jewelry store. He was told by a customer there's some type of fight or confrontation in the parking lot. He was there to protect the jewelry, not the parking lot. He went out in good conscience trying to help a woman who was under attack. He eventually used deadly force on a man. The court ruled that it was unwarranted, unjustified, excessive, and sentenced him to a very long prison term for killing what he thought was an attacker. The elderly man could not defend himself, the elderly security officer, and he eventually used deadly force. And unfortunately for him, because of a lack of real training, I'm not talking about the 4 hours here and the 8 hours there, regulatory. I'm talking about real, get down, dirty, you know, physical, scenario-based training, because he didn't have that. He's in prison. Such was the case last week. We talked about the security officer who thought that he was helping a deputy under attack. And unfortunately, during the scenario, and a second deputy arrived to assist the first one, the security officer fired a lethal shot at the suspect, who was fleeing and no longer posed any threat, let alone imminent threat. And now he's been arrested for murder. A security officer just 2 days ago was charged with murder over a person who refused to wear a mask in the store. People, I don't care how many times we have to say this, but training is an issue in our industry and in law enforcement. I know that you think you don't need it. I know so many of you think, I'm good. I've got good common sense. I've got 10 years experience. I've been doing this long enough. You need the training, because what you think is the right way isn't always the right way. I say this over and over and over again. Good intentions. Yeah, most people have good intentions. They really do think they're doing the right thing. They really do believe that they are doing their job. They're protecting themselves and others when they fire that gun. Good training helps assess whether or not you need to use lethal force. You know, good intentions, but bad decisions. And unfortunately, we're seeing more and more security officers involved in situations where they don't really know what to do. And they're alone. And they don't have the luxury of getting on the horn and calling their supervisor or law enforcement and asking for advice. I understand all of that. And to be frank with you, I really empathize with them. And you know, it all boils down to training. We really need to get on board all together, everybody, every state, every security officer, every security company, and really put something together, as the police are having to do, in the change of policy and the use of force and in threat assessment and de-escalation and communication. And, you know, we're going to have a couple of seminars around the country that's going to be available to you. And I strongly, strongly suggest that you take advantage of those. This week, one of the other things that crossed my desk within the last few days that is really, really concerning, and that is the lack of security companies and security personnel the lack of seriousness in the COVID-19. We talked about this for the last 4 months since this really has been, you know, on the news every day and up in everybody's face. But we're hearing and seeing ourselves, security officers in all type of environments, retail, pharmacy, apartments, that are not wearing face masks, not wearing gloves. We've even seen several in medical facilities not wearing any PPE, and this is a big, tragic mistake. Whether you believe in it or not, it's better to be safe than sorry, better to be safe and alive than not believe in it and not do it and lose your life. If you need protective PPE, protective equipment, and can't afford it, and your company's not giving it to you, send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we'll help you out. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about the news. Lots going on in the news. We want to talk about that big announcement coming up next week. Ever thought about owning a business? Maybe a dream that just won't come true. Maybe you can't afford it, don't have the money, can't save up for it. Well, we might have a possibility for you. Talk about that here in a few minutes. Remember, if you are thinking or needing body armor, protective wear, protective gloves, stab-resistant vest, call our friends at Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. Body Armor USA online or give them a call. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner. Who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
August the 10th, 2020. August the 10th, 2020. That's 1 week from today. You do not want to miss that radio program. Call your friends, your family, your neighbors. Hey, send the message out. We have a very special announcement about how I and my partners plan on helping people not only to get to work, but to have a business and not have to worry about whether they're going to have a job tomorrow. Next Monday, we're going to announce the 6 different companies that we own that's going to help a number of our listeners to start their own business. And here's the great thing. I'm going to spill the beans before next week, but here's the great thing. It doesn't involve thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. It does involve hard work, sweat equity, and someone who is pliable, someone who is a good student, someone who understands what's being offered to them. Next Monday, be listening. Maybe you will be one of those people that no longer have to look for work, no longer have to depend on a manager to give you enough work, and you'll have an opportunity of a lifetime. This is being sponsored by myself, my partners, and a number of businesses. And I'm telling you right now, there's never been anything like this, and there never will again. So be listening next Monday, August the 10th, 2020. Now, let me say this. Do not call our office. Do not send me or help desk an email until we tell you what to do next Monday. I know it's exciting. I know somebody's going to want to know right now, hey, what's that? What's going on? What do I got to do? How can I be one of those? I'm excited too. But we got to wait until next Monday, August the 10th. Please wait until we give you the instructions as to how to be part of this special blessing that we have for some of our listeners. In the meantime, we are going to be giving away to all of our POI members, $200 of free online training. We're sending out a private communication this week to our members. There's no catch, no cost, nada, nothing. If you are a member of Private Officer International, or if you sign up to be one, this week you will receive $200 worth of free training. Again, you gotta be a member of Private Officer International. By the way, if you don't get our newsletters, our breaking news letters, our officer down reports, our training notifications, go to our website, privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A little box is going to drop down. Sign up for that right now. It doesn't cost you anything. I will give you a heads up. Heads up. Some people don't want to get these in their emails, but they sign up for them. We have never been able to explain that, understand that. They sign up for these and then say that they're getting too many emails. We send out 2 to 3 emails a week. Occasionally, when a lot is happening, you might get 5 or 6. But this is email news alerts. We're not giving you a monthly summary. We're not sending you out once a year, hey, this is the overview of what happened in 2020. So please, if you don't want them, don't sign up for them. But this is a free, informative, educational, and when you get the newsletters, when you get the news alerts, you also get free discounts and things that's happening. So again, go to our website, privateofficer.org today, and sign up for that special. I mean, when a company's giving you something free, or offering to do something for you, jump on it, man. Jump on it. There's not too many freebies in this world today. A lot of things that used to be free. I was just telling a friend of mine a couple of months ago, I love Subway. Not so much now, but I used to love Subway. I even went on the Jared Subway diet years ago, way back in the day. And you know what? It really did work. But I was telling them a couple months ago, they gave up their special buy so many subs. I think it was buy 10, buy 5, whatever, and you get a free one. They don't have that anymore. In the way back in the old days, I remember as a kid going to the grocery store, and my parents would collect stamps, green stamps, and they would have a book. And when they got so many books filled, they could get a free whatever, free toaster, free whatever that they could buy with that many books. Not too many companies offering freebies. And this is another this is another example of how old I am. I just was telling a friend of mine last week, we saw a commercial, two Whoppers at Burger King for $5. Two for five. That was a really big ad, big deal. They said, oh, we got two for five. And I looked at them and I said, you know what? I remember when they were 99 cents. And oftentimes there'd be a coupon, buy one, get one free. Two for 99 cents. How could you beat it? My ex-father-in-law told me, he said one time we were having a Whopper at Burger King, he said, this is a whole meal. You got your vegetables, you got your protein, you got your bread, you got cheese, the dairy. It's a whole meal for 99 cents. You don't get those deals. You don't get those deals anymore. So we're offering you free news and information, discounts, whatever it might be. Take advantage of it because there's few and far between these days. And I'm going to give you another insight to where you can go and get some good training at good prices. And that's our friend over at Premier Training Academy in Charlotte, North Carolina. If you need North Carolina PPS training, armed and unarmed, or SLED South Carolina training, call our friend John today at Premier Training Academy. He also offers other training on weapons, first aid, and a whole bunch more. That's Premier Training Academy. The premier training, actually, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ask for John. We're going to take a quick break. Coming right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Quickly. You don't want your friends to be annoyed, so you text. You're on your way. Five seconds is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting while driving. Make sure you get where you're going.
All right, let's take a look over here at the news desk today and see what really is happening out there. A New Jersey man's been charged after punching a hospital security officer and slicing him several times with a knife. Saladin Blunt, 48, of Bayonne, New Jersey, has been charged with aggravated assault, possession of a weapon for the unlawful use and purpose, and also possession of a weapon. He has been remanded in custody to the county sheriff's office. In New Jersey, also a security officer was assaulted at an apartment complex in Newark. The suspect, not named in the news release, has been charged with assault and disorderly conduct. In Virginia Beach, a Virginia Wesleyan security officer has been found not guilty of assault after an incident with a Trump supporter while there was a rally at the university. The Virginia Wesleyan University security officer took down the Trump supporter at a Bernie Sanders rally and was arrested on a charge of assault after the victim filed a warrant. Marcus Going, the Trump supporter, said that he was tackled by the security officer and assaulted unjustly. During a trial, the security officer was found not guilty. Federal law enforcement, tribal law enforcement, and private security responded to a shooting at the Emerald Queen Casino that's in Tacoma, Washington, on Friday night. One man was dead, though the security personnel and tribal police tried to revive the victim. Unfortunately, he succumbed to his injuries. The FBI was on site. Since this is federally regulated property, they take over those type of crimes. In Loudoun County, Virginia, at the Dulles International Airport, TSA officers detected what they thought to be an explosive device. It turned out to be a replica military anti-personnel mine in a woman's luggage, which triggered an alarm. Agents and law enforcement inspected the bag for explosives. She was issued a civil penalty of $680. Speaking of TSA, seven more TSA workers in Atlanta, Georgia, have contracted the COVID-19 virus. According to TSA, more than 1,300 TSA employees have been infected by the virus, more than 55 at the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport there in Atlanta. We also know that six TSA officers have been died. Victims fatally, and a contract security officer as well. In Columbus, Ohio, a security officer on patrol of a auto dealership was assaulted. A vehicle drove up and began yelling. People jumped from the vehicle and attacked him. Police are investigating. No suspect is in custody. In Macon, Georgia, an off-duty police officer at the Crazy Bowl nightclub in Macon, Georgia, had to be tased several times and physically taken into custody. 24-year-old Gary Jones, a police officer, reportedly picked up a cell phone that was left on the counter. Security witnessed it and tried to take him into custody. He put up a fight. Off-duty and on-duty law enforcement responded. They said that he put up a fight, but Jones was taken into custody and released on a $5,350 bond. In Birmingham, Alabama, at the University of Birmingham Hospital, Medical Center, and University, a police sergeant has died after battling COVID-19. Police Sergeant Parnell Gutin was in the hospital for more than 59 days and had taken a turn for the better and was anticipating going home when he did suddenly die. Also, investigator Donald Summer at the Patton State Hospital Police that's in California, also died of the COVID virus while on duty. The 65-year-old has been laid to rest. Trooper Caleb Starr of Michigan State Police died from his injuries during an automobile accident while responding to a call. And an alert security officer in Roxbury, New Jersey, has been credited with potentially saving millions of dollars of property. A Holland manufacturing security officer noticed a fire in part of the building and contacted 911. The quick response helped to control the fire and save some of the property. The security officer's name was not mentioned in the news release. Police say that more than 80 cases of assault involving people not wearing masks have occurred just in the month of July. Police across the country responding when individuals are getting involved trying to enforce the mask rule. Police say that if you see someone not wearing a mask, just contact an employee and don't take the law in your own hands. San Jose cop, he's in trouble. The police officer owned Atlas Security Company, and he's been accused for years of exploiting his employees, underpaying mostly minority workers, aggressively handling them, hiding millions of dollars in revenues from state unemployment and other taxes, and he's been indicted on a 43-count criminal complaint after a six-month investigation. Robert Foster and nine other business partners and associates, including his wife, have been charged with a wide array of crime, ranging from theft to organized crime, not paying taxes, and much more. We're going to be following this case as it makes its way through the court system. Seven Tennessee first responders, some of them my friends, were responding to an emergency, a medical emergency at the public library in Mount Juliet on Friday when they noticed that they had a taste of metal in their mouth, sometimes a sign of cyanide poisoning. Three firefighters, two paramedics, and two police officers who were rendering aid had to be rushed to the hospital, according to Mount Juliet Police Captain Tyler Chandler, a friend of ours. He said that the emergency responders became ill. They found a bottle, possibly potassium cyanide, and that this was a suicide. We have seen this a couple of times over the last few years, and it really is frightening to know that you're trying to render aid to somebody who doesn't want aid and is, in fact, hell-bent on not only killing himself, but killing others around him. Another security company's in trouble, this time in Chicago, Illinois. Walsh Security Company, also owned by a Chicago police officer, has been sued for wrongful death after a man was killed by a security officer at a nightclub called the Blue Light at 3251 Northwestern Avenue. The guard employed by Walsh Security is also named in a lawsuit. Again, we're going to follow this through the court system and see exactly what happens. Walsh Security has recently been in the headlines for some other problems, but we're going to follow it through the court system and we'll let you know. Four people charged with attempted first murder of a security officer. This happened in Orlando. This is at a nightclub when a disturbance inside quickly developed and the four left, got a firearm, came back and began shooting toward the security officer. The four are in custody. They were taken in custody by police and U.S. Marshals. An apartment security officer shot a man to death in Tucson, Arizona during last week. This happened at an apartment complex. Police say that a disturbance, a confrontation happened. The security officer was assaulted and the man produced a knife and the security officer fatally shot him. During the month of July, 17 people killed by security officers. We talked about this, and you know, I'm not sure why this large increase has happened during July. A lot of people were at home. A lot of people possibly were drinking more because they had nothing to do. They weren't going to work. I'm not sure. An off-duty Arizona deputy who confronted a man trespassing at gunpoint while working security is under investigation. We saw a video of this incident. It looked like the officer used reasonable force, but again, we're going to stay on top of it and see where it goes, see if he gets charged. An effort is underway to recognize a federal security officer killed in Oakland during the protest. 53-year-old David Patrick Underwood was a contract security officer at a federal courthouse when he was killed during a drive-by shooting. In fact, we're going to try and have representatives out there when they dedicate a park in the name of Mr. Underwood. And we will have pictures and video and keep you up to date. A security officer in Toledo, Ohio, shot a man after an argument at another apartment complex, this one on Cherry Street in Toledo. Police say that the man has not non-life-threatening injuries, but the security officer was taken into custody and is under investigation for aggravated assault. If you want more news, go to our website at privateofficer.org. Sign up today for breaking news alerts, officer down reports, and training updates. You can also go to our blog. It's updated daily at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. We'll be right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Human trafficking is slavery.
And it happens all over America.
Any child, any woman, any man could potentially become a victim of human trafficking.
I am a victim of labor trafficking.
I was victim of child sex trafficking, but now I own my body.
Human trafficking is any kind of forced labor.
It can happen to anybody.
I am a mother.
I am an author.
I am a son.
I'm an advocate.
I am an educator.
I'm a sister.
I am a brother.
I'm so much more than what happened to me.
I am strong.
I am brave.
I am outspoken.
I am compassionate.
I am a survivor.
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 I am a survivor of human trafficking.
The tongue is mightier than the sword. Something you may have heard growing up, maybe in church, maybe from your family, maybe even from the teacher. Sometimes what we say hurts a lot more than if you actually physically slapped the person in the face. We know what's happening not only across the U.S., but around the world right now with racial tensions and discontentment among the minorities. And recently, as recent as this morning, actually, we've been tracking some of the cases of discrimination and racist bias against customers and employees perpetrated by private security and those in public safety. Now, I understand that, at least with me, you have to take what you read with a grain of salt. You don't know if it's accurate. Many times it's not. You don't know if it's true. Sometimes it's not. You don't know if there's a reason behind it. These days, you know that many people are out just to file a lawsuit, just to see what they can collect. And as we've often talked about, most lawsuits don't go to trial. They are resolved, settled out of court. A person may be looking for $50,000, and out of court they settle for $5,000 or $10,000. But what I want to say today and make clear is that there is no place in professionalism for the use of racial epithets or even profanity, honestly. If you're dealing with a customer, no matter what the situation, you're dealing with someone, you raising your voice and cussing at them or calling them names of any type, it only degrades you. It lowers your status. You're the professional. You need to maintain control of yourself. And one of the situations that we have is that we do have people in this profession, as well as law enforcement and other professions, that can't control themselves. And I'm also paramedic, firefighter, and I do other things as well, and I'm with people all the time. And we see all the time that people, you know, sometimes it doesn't take much at all for them to fly off the handle, for them to start getting verbally aggressive, threatening, name-calling. When you're in uniform, when you're on the job, you need to stay in control, and you need to be the professional. You need to be the bigger man. And I want to say this, too, as a side note. It doesn't matter if you're in uniform on the job. It doesn't matter if you are walking through Walmart as a customer. Calling people names, using racial overtones is not necessary. And as a people, we are better than that. I grew up in the lower income bracket. My classmates and the people that I played with outdoors were Hispanics and blacks. There was a lot of name calling then in the 60s and a lot of racial problems. And unfortunately, as long as people are on this earth, there will be those issues. But we need to be the bigger men and women, and we need to step up and take control. And when we're out in public, especially representing someone else, representing our company, our agency, we need to be 100% in control. We need to be the professional. We need to keep our language clean. Do not discriminate. Do not be biased. I realize that many people just have that as part of their makeup, as who they are. But out in public, we really have to treat everyone equally, and we should treat everyone equally. We need to make sure that if a person is violating the law or policy, that's fine. We can address that issue. We don't have to use any racial structure in our language to get the point across. I understand that sometimes the situation makes you want to blow up. I've done it. I still have to fight that sometimes. I understand that you're screaming and yelling, trying to take control. But you can be loud and be aggressive without using you know, racial overtones or calling people names that has to do with their race or whatever. I have even found people calling others mentally ill and things of that nature. You know, I used to say, I mean, crazy was one of the words I'd say all the time. Oh, he's crazy. Oh, this is crazy. Oh, that's crazy. But you know what? I realized that to some people, it might affect really their mental status. They might have a mental illness, and I'm calling, saying things are crazy. That is derogatory toward them. So I've learned to kind of tone that down. This is a different day and a different time. We're never going to be perfect angels. And I tell my people and people that I train, we're not asking you to be perfect angels. We're asking you to be humans. And as a human, be considerate of others. As a professional, protector, law enforcement officer, security officer, we're asking you to conduct yourself in a professional manner. There are a lot of people that we deal with on a day-to-day basis that's having a crisis, having a problem, things that we may not even know, may not realize. I recently ran across such a person. I had no way of knowing that this person was being literally tossed out of their residence because they were behind in rent and utilities. And they had no place to go, and they were facing having to live on the street. And that's why they were upset at me in our interaction. But I didn't know what was happening in the background. I didn't know. So you have to be considerate, understanding. Try to understand. People have a lot of problems, especially now. People have a lot of issues. No money, no job, no way to pay the bills. Crisis after crisis after crisis. Maybe you can make somebody's life better today. Maybe just how you speak with them will brighten their day. Maybe if you intervene when you know something's happening. You see all the time, police officers, although they don't get the credit, are intervening. They're helping. I just saw the other day, a couple of police officers became aware that a lady didn't have a refrigerator. It broke down a number of months ago, and she had no real way to store her food. They went out and bought her one. Now, that's unusual. It's not easy to take $800 out of your pocket, but they did it. We've got to be human. We have to be rational. We have to be professional. And really, we're all the same. I'm old. I hate to say that, but I am. I'm old, and I've come to the realization of many things, especially in the last 20 years, you know, as time keeps ticking. And I understand. We are really all the same. We all cry. We get sad. We get happy. There's going to be people that you can never, ever please. You'll never be able to reach. You'll never be able to help them. You'll never be able to make them reason. And you'll always have people that'll be violent, resistant, non-compliant. And we have to do our job in that case, but leave all of the baloney out of it. Leave all the words and all the threats and all the racial stuff out. And let's just do our job, and let's be professional. That's going to conclude this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Remember, be here next Monday, August the 10th. You're not going to want to miss the big announcement. Until then, be blessed, be safe, and we're going to see you back here on the radio next week.